Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Tigress. I am so excited to be here with you because you know what? It is the beginning of 2023. I'm still on the high of just being in a new year. It is still so wild to me that it is 2023. I feel like my brain and maybe a little bit of my maturity is still stuck in like late 2020. But you know what? We're glowing up. We're gearing up. I have loved going to hot yoga recently because the classes are so full. And I just feel like there's this newfound excited energy in the room of people who are there clearly living out their New Year's resolutions. And I was actually talking to a yoga teacher today where I was like, is it just me or is it like a lot more popular and like popping around this yoga studio? And she said, oh yeah, it's every January. And I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I always go to hot yoga, but I think even now I feel myself like not wanting to slack off as much because I'm like, you know what? 2023, off to a good start. I got to get through like all my New Year's resolutions. And I want to like eat right and do this, not eat junk food. I want to try to lay off coffee. Like I'm still on the high of all my New Year's resolution energy. Who knows if I'm actually going to be able to keep that up? I will say one goal that I feel like I have every year is to rely less on caffeine. And it's so hard to break. Like today I had half a cup of coffee and like throughout the day, I was like, do I get a latte? Like maybe I go spend and I spend like, you know, $6 on my daily latte. And I was like, you know what? New Year's resolution, I'm going to lay off of it. By 3 p.m., I was exhausted taking a nap in the car when Henry and I were driving back from upstate. So, you know, I'm being patient with myself. I'm letting myself, you know, kind of flow into it. But yeah, overall, I feel like I am in a better spot with my mental health, you know, in thanks maybe to the medication adjustment. But I think also overall, I, you know, coming into this year, experienced like quite a lot of just online stress because, you know, it's been almost 2 years that I have not went a day without posting on social media. And I think that I really felt that over like the last couple months was like this not only anxiety over what people are saying, but kind of this like creative fatigue over, you know, I, of course, the trends are changing, the sounds are changing, but I didn't feel as much like excitement or challenge or newness to, you know, to social media, but also just to like the experience of going viral. And so I feel like, you know, going through this a little bit of like a lull in my mental health earlier this month of really struggling to just like be online and do my job. I feel like I'm kind of coming out on the other side of it of like, okay, you know what? I enjoy this. Here are the reasons why I value having a platform and why I'm excited to keep building it. But I also think I have this newfound energy of like, you know what? Like I love making content and I love creating a community online that can also exist in person. And you know what? Fuck all that, you know, pressure and the backlash and the trolls, like fuck all of it. I am just going to exist here and be myself and try to live my best life. And if people are going to hate on me for living my best life, like that's on them. And, you know, of course, I'm not saying any of that to like escape opportunities to learn. I'm always going to be learning. And I think, you know, obviously, I know a risk of showing your wins very publicly when you show everything means that you also show your failures very publicly. Anyways, all that to say, I think the vibe that I'm really going off of right now is like the exciting energy of January, like New Year's resolutions, all the way to this kind of I'm going to be me and fuck all the haters. Like this is what I want to be doing and this is what I'm meant to be doing. And I think that kind of like confidence is something that I wasn't feeling maybe like even last month, earlier this month. And I feel like in the last week, I just kind of hit a breaking point of like, this is me and like, this is what I want to do. We have a big year. Like August has some really exciting announcements. We launched our jingle last week and it was so much fun. I feel like there's so much coming up that I'm just like screw all the haters who are just in my DMs trying to hate. Like, we have work to do, and I'm excited for that work. This is also really good energy to hold on to because I'm turning 25 in like a month. It's currently January 15th, I think, and my birthday's on February 11th, and I'm turning 25, which is so crazy. I historically do not like my birthdays at all. Like, I need to go back and look at my birthday podcast episode from last year, but like, usually on my birthdays, I just feel a lot of anxiety and a lot of insecurity. Like, I feel I've always had this obsession and fear of death. Like, I really don't want to die. And, you know, I talked to some of my close friends about this who work in like the aging industry, like supporting companies that support the aging population. And when I talk to them about death, they're like, talk about it in this way where it's so beautiful and growing older and having these memories and this wisdom, and you embrace that aging and you embrace even the concept of death, and there's a beauty in death, and there's a beauty in exploring like afterlife and all these things. And I will say here, I do not have that at all. I've always had a deep-seated fear of anything regarding death. Like, I don't want to talk about death. Like, whenever, if I ever had to go to a funeral for like a close family friend, I really did not want to go. It really freaked me out and it made me really uncomfortable. Like, and you know, perhaps it's a lack of maturity thing in some parts. Maybe it's, I don't know, childhood trauma I haven't processed, but death just really freaks me out. And I think, you know, I also did not grow up very close to very old people. Like, I didn't have a great grandma or even now close contact with a really older grandparent. So I just think that like, even interacting with older populations, and I'm not talking about like middle age, I'm talking about like much, much, much older, like 80, 90 years old. And I used to volunteer actually at a retirement home that was close to my high school. And I think that was the first time that I really like saw people who were really, really old. And I remember just being so terrified of it. Like, not in a way of like, oh, I don't want to be old. It was more in the sense of like, life is crazy, man. Like, it's so short. And I think just being in conversation with them, while I do absolutely have the utmost respect and awe, it just kind of makes me uncomfortable. Like, it's not something that I am used to. And, you know, as much as I embrace challenge and change, I think to me, the concept of, you know, getting older and life going by so fast and me not having like an example in my life of here's this really powerful, happy, beautiful, badass older person in my family. You know, my mom is young and she's always been one of the younger moms. And because maybe I didn't have, you know, or because I didn't have even a close relationship with my great grandparents or extended family, like, I haven't had to deal with a lot of death in the family beyond like my grandfather on my dad's side, who, by the way, I still haven't really, I think, processed that he's gone. Like, in my mind, in my mind I know he's dead, but in my heart I'm like, no, he's just, I'm not seeing him right now. So all that to say, like, I think birthdays are really weird for me because I kind of equate it to like, oh, life is going by yet again so fast. Like, again, I started this episode by saying like, it's 2023, that's crazy. Like, I just feel like it's still 2020. Like, and I know a lot of people feel that way post-pandemic, but that's like genuinely such a hard thing for me to grasp of like, oh my God, it is 2023 before the pandemic. I went into the pandemic, by the way, being 21. I was 21 and now I'm turning 20 fucking five and I'm living with this guy that I met, you know, 2 months before the pandemic started, and we have like a house together and we have a dog. Like, life just goes by so fast. And while there is beauty to that, I will be completely honest, the main emotion I have about that is like absolute fear. Like, I just feel like there's so much to do in life. And I've talked about this so much in therapy over like, you know, on my birthdays, especially, I have this like big insecurity of like, oh my God, I haven't accomplished anything. Like, I have these big dreams and these big ambitions. And, you know, when I was 20 years old, I thought that I would publish my second and third book before I was 25. And I do think, you know, part of my, you know, toxic girl boss that I'm really trying to work through is that like obsession with accomplishment and hitting these milestones that are related to like, you know, being young and being, you know, at the prime of a career. And I think it's hard emotionally in many ways because I did come into my career so young. Like I started my nonprofit when I was 16 and, you know, was doing things that put me in rooms and in media where my age was really celebrated. Like a lot of the first headlines that I ever got, or, you know, when I would be introduced on stage for a speech, a lot of it came with a kind of a glorification of my age, right? Like this 16-year-old is doing this. This 17-year-old is doing this. Meet the 23-year-old. And like even in a recent headline, like that was a profile about me, it was like, this 24-year-old is, you know, fighting the period stigma. And like, it kind of fucks with your head in quite a bit, because then it's like, okay, well, is what I'm doing valuable, or who I am, is it valuable or impressive, or is it just because I am young? And, you know, now I'm turning 25 and I'm like fully preparing for like, you know, my age is not part of the, oh, wow, like, that's so amazing, you're young. Like, again, I feel so vain talking about this, but like, this is just like my real, how I genuinely feel is like kind of the struggling with, I feel like I've maybe misunderstood so much of my value, or like being impressive and having external validation from like the fact that I was a young entrepreneur or a young organizer, or I was accomplishing things by a certain age. And I think that I have this irrational fear, or I know that I have this irrational fear that's like, is who I am less valuable because I am 25 or getting older? Is what I'm accomplishing less impressive? And, you know, a lot of this, of course, goes back to this unhealthy obsession and value that I put on external validation. I mean, very related to borderline personality disorder, you know, which is all about, you know, not having that intrinsic value, but like depending on others because you intrinsically feel like a piece of shit. Like, I'm working through all of that. Okay, that's why we have this podcast where we sit down and we talk through all of it. But yeah, I mean, 25, like when I just think about like when I was younger and I grew up on rom-coms, and, you know, when Netflix wasn't a thing yet, we had like a few DVDs that we would just watch over and over and over again, including 27 Dresses, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and 13 Going on 30. And I would watch all of these and just think, you know, where a lot of the glorification is like dreaming about getting married even. And I'd be like, oh, well, when I'm 25, I'm going to get married. Like I will be having dating someone for like a few years after college and then I'm going to get married. And I think a lot of that timeline is probably informed with the fact that like both my grandparents got married super young. My mom got married when she was like 22, 23, had me when she was like before the age I am now, right? Like my mom is a very young mom. My mom had me when she was 23. And so like I process all of that and like see that as an example. I love having a young mom. And then I'm like, am I supposed to be feeling ready to get married right now? Because I do not. I feel like an absolute kid at heart. I'm still learning to do the whole like, you know, taking care of myself. I just got myself on a really steady sleep schedule for the last year. Like, I still need to do that. I still have all these money issues that I need to work through. I'm still working on my abundance mindset. I'm still even like grappling, as you can tell by my rambling here, with the concept of like getting older and maturing. Like, these are all things that I have so much work to do. And I don't know if it's going to take me 5 years to work through it, 10 years to work through it. But right now, I'm very comfortable in my life. And I'm embracing the stability that I have. And stability used to really freak me out. And so the fact that I have this stability and I'm embracing it, I'm like, this is enough for me. I like the beautiful chaos. Having Mimi as my puppy, like that is added chaos that I really value. And I think I'm just like, it's just a lot to be 25 now. My therapist always tells me, in terms of dealing with my whole like anxiety around aging, is to think about what I would tell other people, or what I think when I hear of other people who are accomplishing things at much older ages. And, you know, for me, like when I think about my biggest role models, a lot of my role models are people who have decades of experience, and I look up to them for all the wisdom that they have. And it never crosses my mind like, oh, but they're old, or like, oh, they're in their 60s. Like, that never crosses my mind. Like, this is a very like anxiety that I have internally and that I impose on myself, but I do not impose on others. And the other thing that I have on this is like my anxiety about getting older is like, it's not about my beauty. I have no anxiety about my hair, you know, getting gray or, you know, having wrinkles, or like, I don't have any anxiety around that. Like I have no interest in getting like Botox this young or things like that. Like this is purely about like this fear that my value or like external validation or like what I'm accomplishing is like less impressive when I'm older. And historically on my birthdays, I do not do anything. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to plan it. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. I am really uncomfortable when people like sing me happy birthday, which is all really like odd because I love celebrating other people's birthdays. Like I love planning surprise things. I love like getting birthday gifts. Like I love celebrating other people's birthdays. So like, but for me, I just feel so awkward. Like it feels like I don't want, like usually, of course I'm like, you know, attention, yay, attention. But like on my birthday, I'm like, no, like I just feel like not deserving of it. It feels like misplaced. And it also, again, like brings up a lot of like this random, not random, like irrational anxiety that I have just around like the concept of getting much older. You know, which I will say, like, the more and more I verbalize it, I'm like, it is so related to like feeling like a failure and like I want to accomplish so many things by a certain age. And I put so much of like my professional goals on a timeline and then I don't hit that timeline. And I just like really beat myself up over for it. And again, that's something I'm working on and being very open about working on. But you know what? I feel like going back to kind of the positive energy that I started out on, which is like, I'm coming into this new year with this like, I am me attitude. And that needs to go so deeply into like who I am and the maturity that I have, which is in no small part to the fact that I have a few more years under my belt. Aging and getting older and being 25 has brought me nothing but lots of amazing learnings, new people in my life. And I think that I look back on myself at 21 or 18 or 16 when these things were, you know, where my age felt like it was an accomplishment of mine in and of itself. And I look back at that younger version of me and I feel honestly nothing but like pity. And it just makes me sad because I remember being that age and having even more fear about getting older than I do now. And not having any sort of intrinsic happiness and not having learned the lessons yet that I feel like I've learned in the last couple of years of surrounding myself with the right people, really trying to be as self-aware as possible about the fears and anxieties I have and like where they come from. And I think that that's something I really have to remind myself of is like that I have this fear over getting older. It is purely rooted in this like obsession that I have around accomplishment and my value being from accomplishment and what other people think of me and how they value me rather than like my intrinsic value. And also reflecting on the fact that like having a few more years under my belt, even in the last, in my own personal experience, has brought me nothing but further joy. And I think that's really going to be my motto going into the new year. And going into my 25th birthday, I'm also really excited because I am like for the first time in my adult life, actually putting in effort to celebrate my 25th birthday. So I planned an international trip to South America. I'm excited because I'm trying to like reveal it slowly, but I am going to Argentina, and I have not planned anything yet. I've just bought the tickets, but I'm going to be there for my 25th birthday with a couple of friends. And like when I told my therapist I was doing that, she was like, oh my God, this is such a big deal. And I was like, yes, it's such a big deal. Like, I feel like I talk about it online, like, oh, I'm going to plan a birthday trip. And they're like, okay, great. You know, like every influencer goes on their little birthday trip. But like when I told my therapist and my friends, my family, they know how big of a deal it is that I'm like actually doing something on my birthday instead of holding up in a room because I feel worthless and I feel like I haven't accomplished anything. And like sitting down and making myself work and like pull an all-nighter, which is, by the way, how I spent my 21st birthday, my 22nd birthday. Like that is how I spent my birthdays. So like now I'm going to be spending my 25th birthday. I'm trying to like be all about like, abundance. I'm going to Argentina. I'm going to go with my friends. I'm going to spend time with people I love. I'm probably going to be doing some work, but like, I love the work that I do. It makes me happy. It brings me joy. It gives me purpose. And it's adding to the intrinsic value that I'm trying to feel. So yeah, I'm nervous to release this episode because I feel like I think women especially like have so much insecurity about aging, and I feel like I don't have similar insecurities all the time around, like, again, mine is not about like how I look or anything. It's like, it really is around this, how I have a fear of not being seen as impressive. And that is not a good fear to have, because it's not like a good obsession to have. And I mean, it's valid. I don't want to say it's not good, but it's like not something that I want to have for the rest of my life. And I'm nervous to share this with everybody because I don't want people to think that I'm like vain in this way, or that I'm looking down on people who are older than me, because I have a lot of respect, nothing but respect. I think for me, it's just like, this is an internal fear and anxiety that I have, that I've had for a really long time. And, you know, with Tigress, we have these uncomfortable conversations. And this is genuinely like what is on my mind when I'm around my birthday. So with that, I really want to hear what y'all think, though. So let me know. Drop comments. Let me know what you want to hear about. And I'll be back with maybe some pre-birthday reflections next week. Bye, y'all.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
While many investors chase a tech boom that has yet to fully materialize, and major indexes already flirt with record highs, it feels like we're running out of those under-the-radar opportunities with the potential to elevate your overall portfolio. But with Masterworks Advisors, you can diversify your investment portfolio beyond stocks and bonds and into blue-chip contemporary art. It's an asset class that's outpaced the S&P 500 for the last 28 years by 64%. And the process doesn't require millions or art expertise. In fact, over the same period, art investing has been an effective way to reduce volatility in a portfolio relative to rate of return. So schedule a call with Masterworks Advisors at masterworks.com/skip. That's masterworks.com/skip. This advertisement relates to the provision of advisory services by Masterworks Advisors, LLC, and is not intended to offer or solicit investment in any securities. Masterworks Advisors is affiliated with Masterworks.